You may have your seat, please. God bless you. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I will just read about three verses. Thanks, David, for reading that. I'm just going to take a small portion of it, and then we'll see how the Lord is going to speak to us. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll read from verse number 3. Get away from here. I need you to note that word here. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink, from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I need you to take note of that word there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Let us pray. Father, as we gather around your word this morning, we thank you that we have this word from you to gather around. Lord, speak to us. Guide us. Lord, I ask for an anointing, a fresh anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people this morning. Lord, let the anointing be so strong upon them so that, Lord, every single word that they need to hear this morning, that they will indeed hear, not just with the outer ear, but with their inner ear. Lord, I pray that you anoint me and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer, so that this word would drop as the rain this morning and distill as the dew of the morning. So that every one of us, the speaker, the hearer, will have been tremendously blessed. Lord, I ask that no distractions is going to be able to rob your people off what you have prepared for them, especially through the time of this teaching. Let there be power release that will bring healing, encouragement, hope. Let the power of God bring peace into the heart that is troubled this morning by the reason of your word, so that all of us will have been tremendously blessed at the end of this teaching. For we've asked in Jesus' precious name, and the church say, amen. Amen. A few years ago, a friend of mine who had just recently moved to Australia was going to come to stay with us. He was going to come to stay with us for a few weeks in order to get a few things sorted. He was going to come, I believe, from Melbourne. So I told him to come around, and I was going to pick him up at the airport. He happens to be a very good friend of mine. We had lost contact for a long time, and I was looking forward to a time that we're going to have to catch up with some of those, you know, old times and share thoughts again. So I said, no, don't bother to come. Don't bother to get the taxi. I will actually come to pick you up at the airport. I was so excited to meet with him. So we agreed on a particular date that he will come, and then we fixed the time and the place I was going to pick him up. So I said, just stay there, and I'm going to come and pick you up. And so he did. I think he might have got to the Perth airport earlier than I got there, rushed from work, and I was on the way. And he called me, and I said, so are you there? He said, yes, I'm there. Okay, just give me a few minutes. I'm just around the corner. I'll get there as well. And so I got to the airport, and I got to the place I thought we had agreed that he was going to be, but he wasn't there. So I called him. A friend, you're not here. He said, no, I'm there. So where are you? I'm right there. I told him, no, I am there. You are not there. No, he said, I'm there. Where are you? It went on and on for a few minutes. I think about 10, 15 minutes, to be honest, and we didn't know where exactly are you? And he said, where are you to? I'm there. No, you're not there, and all of those things. And we were both getting frustrated because I thought I was there. He thought he was there, but neither of us was able to see each other. So it dawned on me, and I decided to ask, so where precisely are you? And he said, I am at so-so-and-so place. So apparently what had happened, it was supposed to be a domestic flight from Melbourne here. But for whatever reason, the aircraft actually landed at the international wing, I think because they were actually doing some renovation or whatever. I can't remember exactly. So he was at the international wing. I was at the domestic wing. And that was the reason why we thought we were there, but he wasn't there. I was there. He wasn't there because the day that we agreed on was the day that I was. All right. After a lot of talking and we finally figured it out and said, look, I'm there and I will wait for you to come and meet me there. All right. So we were able to fix that up and then we caught up. Now, a lot of people get frustrated in life simply because they are not at the place I call there. This morning, I want to teach by the grace of God on what I've titled The Place Called There. The Place Called There. And if you're just joining us for the first time today, we have been in a series, a King's series, we title it. It's a book series. We've been going through the book of 1 Kings, reviewing a couple of stories and gleaning from it, especially how it applies to us as New Testament believers. So today, like I said, I'm going to be speaking on The Place Called There. Now, the book of 1 Kings chapter number 17 introduces us to a new prophet. We've never met this prophet up till now. Don't forget, from previous teaching, we now have two kingdoms, the southern and the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom is called Israel. The southern kingdom is called Judah. And so this is taking place in Israel. God raised up a king. For a number of years, the people in the northern kingdom, Israel, they had deviated from following the Lord. As a matter of fact, the land is now kind of filled with idols. Baal was a major idol that the people were worshiping. And God wanted to bring a change. He wanted to bring a return of these people back to the God, the king, the God of Israel. So he sent this prophet, and that's how we have come into 1 Kings chapter number 17. Now, before I go into the details of what is happening here, I want to tell you the reason why this place is so important to us. The reason why it's so important to us has to do with what I believe is applicable to everyone here. There is something I know about you, and I'm talking about every single person here. Somebody says, but you don't even know me. You've not even been to my house. You've not even met my family. But there is something I know about you, and that is the fact that you have a need. Everyone present here this morning and those joining us online, we've got a need. Everyone. I don't care whether you are young, whether you are old, male or female, you've got a need. Kings have needs. Rulers have needs. Presidents of countries have needs. Mayors of cities have needs. Young people have needs. Old people have needs. You have got a need, or for some of us, several needs, you know, that it might take us a while for us to actually go through your entire list. So you've got a need. But that's not just the only thing. You've got a need that you need only God to meet. In other words, there are certain needs in your life that only God is able to meet it. No other person is able to meet it. You know, your friend will not be able to meet it. Your husband, as close as you are, will not be able to meet it. Your wife, you know, is not able to meet it. Your children are not able to meet it. Your parents are not able to meet it because it's a different kind of need. You've got that need that is only God that is able to meet that need. And somebody says, look, you goof there because I actually don't have a need. I want to tell you that everyone has a need. And if you think you don't have a need, it's simply because you have not discovered the need that you've got. Because God has not made any man that does not have a need. Otherwise, there is no need for that person to be here. The only reason why you are here is simply because you have a need, and not just have a need, but you have a need that only God is able to meet. Okay, you know, because for instance, it is possible for somebody to have a need and never even have come to the knowledge of the fact that he has that need. I met the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 17. To be honest with you, I did not think I needed Jesus. I wasn't even looking for him. I was just going to church as per normal, like we would normally do on a Sunday, you know, religious way that we have been doing since, you know, since we were born. And it was for the first time after the preaching of the word, I felt, oh, really? I think I have that need. I need Jesus badly. So if you are one of those people that think I don't have a need, I'm telling you today that you've got a need, and perhaps you don't have an idea of the need you've got. And that's even sad, that you have a need that you don't even know you've got. But I pray that the Lord is going to open your eyes to your need. And like I said, I don't care how many needs you've got. I believe that there is at least one of those needs that only God is able to meet it, not any other person. I mean, there are needs that we can actually get met, you know, by talking to somebody, you know. As children, you can talk to your parents, you know. In the course of the week, one of our daughters came to me and said, Daddy, you know, I need a new pants, and I believe the Lord has blessed us so that you'll be able to meet that need. And I said, yes, I'm able to meet that need, praise God, you know. Although I didn't know it was going to cost that much, but then I met the need, you know. But there are certain needs that she will not be able to come to me to ask me to meet because I don't just have that capacity. So you've got a need. There are certain needs in your life that only God can meet. And for every need, God has a provision. For every of your need, God has a provision. Just stay with me, because the reason why I'm talking about all of this is because the prophet's life that we're going to review, and we're going to spend a short time reviewing his life this morning, the prophet's life reveals to us the dynamics, the working dynamics between your need and God's provision. And that's why I'm setting up the stage, so that you appreciate the fact that you have a need and that you've got a God who has the capacity to be able to meet that need. And the need may be financial, it may be emotional, the need may be about relationship. The need may be deeper than that. It may actually be something spiritual. But you've got a need, and you've got one of those needs, at least one of them, is a need that is only God that is able to meet it. So let's jump into this story. So the story is about a man called Elijah. We're going to meet another person who has a name that is very similar, who is called Elisha, but this is Elijah. You remember, prior to this time, we have met someone called Jeroboam, and we met another one very similar called Rehoboam, right? So they've got all these very close, you know, names in Israel, and it's not too different from what we've got in our age and time as well. You know, you have Joe and Jonah and Joseph and Joses and stuff like that, you know. So this is Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. The Bible does not tell us exactly how his childhood was. It just says this man was from a place called, was a Tishbite, and he came and he gave a word. And the word that he gave was that there was not going to be any rain or dew this year. We later find out that these years actually mean 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, there was not going to be rain or dew. Why? Because God wanted to, that this was going to be the judgment of God upon this nation that was taken out of Egypt by God, the Almighty God of Israel. But all of a sudden, they have abandoned God and they have started following other gods, small g now. And so God was going to bring judgment upon them. And part of the judgment was that God was going to cease the rain. Now, when Elijah came into the scene to give this instruction or to give this word, it was not Elijah's making. It was not that Elijah just felt, oh, look, there's too much rain, I'm going to stop it. No. It was actually an instruction from God. We'll later find out how that in the book of James, you know. God gave him that instruction. So he went there and he said, in verse number 1, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand. Before whom I stand gives an impression that he's actually just the mouthpiece of somebody. And in this case, he was a mouthpiece of God. There shall not be dew nor rain this year except at my word. And as soon as he said that, the Lord will need to sustain this prophet. Don't forget, when there is no rain, when there is no dew, because they are purely farmers, they look after farms and after cattle and after sheep and stuff like that. It means that there will be no business. There will be no way for them to be able to feed themselves, feed their family. But God has a way to sustain this prophet in drought. Now, one of the things that is super exciting about the story of Elijah is what the Bible says about this Elijah in James chapter number 5 and verse 16. I just really want you to turn there because it's so encouraging to me each time I read about Elijah and I read this part of it, which is actually in the New Testament in the book of James. I'm super excited. I'm super encouraged about the life of this man. James chapter 5, look at verse 6, number 17. The Bible says, Elijah, James 5, 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Stop. Elijah was not a super being. He was not a superstar. He was not an angel. He was not somebody that just descended from the sky. The Bible says he had a similar nature. Now, the description in that place talks about the fact that he has his own weakness and frailties. He has his own issues. He has his own troubles. And so what we're going to be reading about him now, or maybe in subsequent weeks, they are not things that does not apply to us. They actually apply to us because he is a man with a similar nature like ours. So what he did here was to speak, and that's why I said it's super encouraging to me. That means I can relate exactly to what this man is doing and what his experience will be in this passage, because it's just like me and you. It's just like you and me. The Bible says in verse number 2, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here. Get away from here. Now, it was going to be dry in the land. There was not going to be any rain. That means the crop will not grow. That means the cattle will not be able to be fed. That means there was going to be famine. There was going to be scarcity of food. But God wanted to supply and meet the needs of this man. This man was going to need food. Okay? Just like you have all kinds of needs, God is powerful enough to make an arrangement. But the way God does it is actually what blows my mind. And that's exactly the way he's doing things in our hearts and in our lives today. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the root chariot which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And pay attention to this. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The ravens are not going to bring the bread here. They are going to bring it. They are going to take it there. So, Elijah, I need you to leave this place where you are. I need you to take and go to the place of your provision. Why? Because God's provision, listen to me, people of God, God's provision has a location. God's provision always has a location. In other words, the provision of God resides at a location. Let me put it differently. God's allocation has a location. So when he allocates something to you, it resides in a place. Now, the only way to be able to experience and enjoy that allocation is to remove yourself from here to there. I don't care how much of prayer, how much of fasting you want to do. If it does not involve you moving from here to there, you will just continue to be a very hungry prophet. Why? Not because there is no provision, but the provision resides at a location that you have refused to go to. That's why I said that God's provision has a location. Your need, God understands, and he knows you've got a need. Amongst all of your needs, he has all kinds of answers for all kinds of needs. But he puts those answers in a location. And the location is called there. And that's why I titled it The Place Called There. So you need to move from here So there, now listen to me, people of God. I know what you're thinking about. You're already thinking about moving to Melbourne, you know, or moving to Sydney, or moving overseas. The location I'm talking about does not have to be geographical. The location does not have to be outside of this state. I mean, sometimes it is, but it does not have to be. When I talk about this movement, I'm not talking about a shifting of you as a person from one geographical location to another. In the case of Elijah, it required him to move from a place to another geographical place. He actually moved physically. But the movement I'm talking about does not have to be geographical. It could be mental, mindset, attitude in a change, a spiritual movement from one level of operation spiritually to another. As a matter of fact, listen to me, people of God. More of the answers that we will experience will come to us first because there has been a change, a movement that is not first physical. It is often always mental, attitudinal, spiritual, for those answers to actually come to us. So what I'm saying in essence is this. The answer to your need is in a location. And that location is not going to change. It's been fixed by God. It is incumbent on you and I to move ourselves from here to there. Now, think with me for a minute. Let's assume Elijah chose that he was going to be where he was. What will have happened to the provision? Will the provision not have been provided? Of course it will have. Why? Because the commandment has gone forth. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. It has nothing to do with your obedience. Your provision is going to be there. So I can imagine if Elijah had decided to stay where he was and not move there, there will be bread there, rotting away. There will be water there, wasting away. But Elijah will be here complaining that God is just not good. He's just not faithful. He's just not kind. How can you leave a prophet and not feed him? And many of the times, the reason why we suffer and we have this experience of frustration is simply because we are too deaf to understand the fact that the location is wrong. The allocation is not here. It is there. There has to be a change, a mindset change, an attitude change, a change of your spiritual status from where you are to where the answer is located. Because listen to me, people of God, God is not going to say because you have refused to move, ravens, change your direction, go to where he is. He's a stubborn boy. No. The allocation will still go there. And so you need to find out there. And that's why I said that it's not first physical. It's not just first geographical. I mean, remember the story of the 12 spies that were sent? They were going to actually make a geographical movement from one place to another. So Moses asked these 12 spies to go into the land, to go and spy the land. And so they will spy the land, and the idea is that they will go to the land, they'll see the beauty of the land, the fruitfulness of the land, and then they will come and tell the people, and the people will be excited to be able to move a geographical movement, you know, from where they were in the wilderness. I think they were in Kadesh Barnea at that time, to go into Canaan. That was the plan. But when they got there, and they saw the beautiful land, they saw crops. In fact, they brought grapes. The grapes were so big that one person would not be able to carry it. So they had to actually, you know, get a plank and put it in their shoulders in between two people and put the grapes. It was that fruitful. But when they came back, they told the people, you know, there were giants there, 10 of them. There are giants there. We can't go there. What that was going to mean was that because their mindset is fixed on the troubles and their mindset is fixed on the enormity and enormity of the problem, they were not going to eventually make the geographical movement. What I'm saying, people of God, is the mindset needs to change first. In many cases, before the physical movement takes place. So I'm not suggesting to you that you need to move house from Hellenbrook, you know, tomorrow, because pastor said it has to be there, you know. I didn't say that. I mean, if God is dealing with you that way, that's okay. But I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that often, more often than not, there has to be a change in the way, in our perception, in our understanding of who God is and what his promises are. Because the place called there is a place not just of promise. The place called there is a place of provision. The place called there is a place of protection. The place called there is a place of providence. All of these things are going to take place where Elijah was going to go, but he needs to make a move from here there. So the journey, but interestingly, this journey needs to take place on the wings of obedience. This guy has to believe God and has to follow his instruction for him to move from where he was to where the provisions are. Otherwise, this guy was going to die an hungry prophet. Your needs has an allocation, and that allocation is in a place called there. It is incumbent on you to move from where you are to where your there is. And the beauty of it is that the there is not something that God has hidden from us. It's all over the pages of the scriptures and inspired by the Spirit. The question is, are you going to respond to that direction and move from your here to your there? For instance, let me give you a very good example. Someone that is in financial mess, is in debt right now, is thinking, look, all I need to do is to get a high-paying job. I just leave this job. They're not paying me very well. You know, I just need to leave, you know. And sometimes it may actually be so, but that's not the place it actually starts, you know. Because until that person understands what it means to be financially prudent and understand financial stewardship as it's written in the Word, I don't care whether he moves from here and go and take another job somewhere else and remove himself physically to another place, he will still go there, truly get a higher pay, but he may actually sink into a deeper debt. Why? Because it has nothing to do with just how much that comes in. It has to do with the management of what comes in. And if that management is wrong and your attitude to finances is so worldly, then I don't care how much of zeros they put at the back of your pay right now. The guy is still going to sink into debt. You know how I know? Because there are examples all over around us. You know, the other time they were talking about a very popular musician, and this guy made a lot of money. And after his death, they were just reviewing his account, and they discovered that he was hugely in debt. As a matter of fact, they were going to sell all of the things he had. He would still not have been able to pay his debt. And he was earning huge amount of money. Why? Because it has nothing to do with change of jobs first. It has to do with a movement from here to there, from this idea, this worldly idea of the way the finances of the world is to be run, to this place in God where it dictates how you actually run your finances. That's the way it is. Some people are having some burnout because they are not able to manage their relationship, and they think changing their husband or changing their wives or changing their partner is going to fix it. And that's why people go from one partner to another, and then they become a serial partner holder. Why? Because there has not been a change in their understanding of what it means to be in a union called marriage. And so they go from one person to another, and every other person is bad. I am the only one good. And like somebody says, you are the common denominator. From the one, the first guy to the second guy to the third guy, you are the common denominator. Something is obviously wrong with you. What is wrong? That guy has not made a movement from his here or from a here to the there. And so the provision of peace in this relationship is going to elude her all her life because there has not been a movement of mind. The mindset is still in the same worldly level. I'm challenging the people of God that this movement I'm talking about takes place on the wings of obedience. It takes place on the wings of obeying the command of God, because you later discover that this was not going to be the last movement of this man called Elijah. Look at with me what happened. So after a while that he's been there, the Bible says the brook dried up. Verse number 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had not been rain, no rain in the land. So because there was no rain, there was no feeding of the water. The water dried up. Now, can I ask you a question, people of God? Is it the problem of no rain that the brook actually dried up? I have read the scripture and I discovered that God is actually able to sustain that water. But God wanted this man to make a move. Because the first move is not necessarily your last move. And where you are today does not necessarily mean that's where God will want you to be in a year's time. And that's why, as a pastor, it pains my heart when you see a believer who has been in the church for years and is understanding his spiritual level is just exactly the same. And you're asking yourself this question, has God not spoken to this guy to make a move? Or is just ignorant or deliberately disobedient to God? Because the instruction that came to Elijah here is this, verse number 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and do what? Dwell there. Now, take a note. Dwell there. So this is not a visit. So he's now moving from his there, which has now become his here, to another place, which is now his new there. Okay. See, says this, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, listen to me, people of God. The Bible later says this in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, verse 25. Luke, chapter number 4, verse 25. There were so many widows in Israel. But there was only a place, a widow that this man was sent to. This widow is in Zarephath. Now, it does not matter where if Elijah had gone to any other place, and say, oh, yeah, God said widow. Widow is any widow, you know. And had gone to another widow in Israel, he will have died a hungry prophet. Because there is a there to it. And he says this. He says, I have commanded the widow. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens was shut. 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. Next. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. Now, this is just telling us that he couldn't have gone to any other widow. I have commanded a widow there. And so this man had to move from where he was to meet with this widow. And you know the rest of the story. What I'm saying, people of God, is this. God's provision has a location. That location can change. In fact, that location does change from time to time. Such that what God is working on you about right now is a little bit deeper or different to what he will be doing in your life next year. If he's working in the area of humility, for instance, in your life, there are deeper levels to that. And so when the provider of this level of humility, when God wants to take you to a deeper level of humility, he changes that provider. You know, like you change your provider of internet or whatever. So the provider of this stuff at the first instance was the ravens and the brook. And so God wanted to expand, you know, the level of the provision that God was going to be doing in the life of this of Elijah. So he took him to another provider, in this instance, the woman, the widow in Zarephath. I have commanded, I love that, I have commanded that widow there to take care of you. And you see a deeper level of provision. Why? Because the first provision was for Elijah and Elijah alone. This next provision was not just going to be for Elijah and Elijah alone. This provision that would come into the laps of Elijah was going to actually achieve something deeper. What is something deeper? Others are going to get blessed from the feeding of Elijah in this instance. Because when Elijah got there, God used Elijah to multiply the supply of this woman. The woman was actually going to take her last meal. And Elijah said, you don't have to take your last meal and die. You can give it and leave. And that was exactly what happened. Wow. This is now a deeper level of provision because it affects more people than the previous one. So if we're going to even talk in the context of provision, let's just talk financial now because we can relate to that. There is a level of provision, financial provision, that takes care of you alone. Me, myself, and I. You know that kind? Right. There is a level of deeper provision that God can take you to that does not just take care of you, that takes care of others. The next level of provision in the life of Elijah took care of Elijah quite well. It took care of that widow and that boy, and it took care of the immediate family. It's a deeper one. I'm saying to you, people of God, the location often needs to get deeper. And when you get to a platform of working with God, that doesn't mean that's the end of it. And that's why I love the songwriter. I said, take me deeper. Take me deeper in love with you. There is always something deeper in God. And until we make that move, we're not going to get there. Because this guy was going to actually die a hungry prophet if he had stayed in that brook. Not because he wasn't sent there by God, but his time there was up. And that's why there are people who are actually drying up spiritually because they're not just going to make a move to go deeper with God. Yes, God sent you there. God brought you there. God brought you to this level of relationship, but you discover that it's actually not as intoxicating as it used to be. Why? It's drying up. It's calling you to a deeper walk with him. And that's why it's not as refreshing and not as energizing as it used to be in yesteryears. Because he has moved the provider to another location. Don't forget the source is still the same. The source is still God. But the instruments could change from time to time. God's provision has a location, people of God. That location does change from time to time. But the provision is sure. I love the word he says. He says, I have commanded. That's the word he used in verse number 4 when he was talking about the ravens. I have commanded. That's the word he used in verse number 9. Why? Because this is sure. In other words, you can bank on it. I'm asking you, people of God, are you there? Are you in the place called there? You remember where I started from? My friend would probably have just stayed there all night, you know, without getting to my place, simply because he was not in the place called there that we had agreed to. Are you there? As I round up this morning, fast forward in the life of Elijah, something happened and he had great victory. I don't have the time to go into the details now. He had great victory. He actually put to shame the prophet of Baal and he had great victory. But he panicked when he got a message from a woman by the name Jezebel. So he ran away. Now, he ran away at this point in time, not because he was instructed to, not because he was given that instruction, but he decided to run for his dear life because Jezebel told him, I'm going to cut off your head. And the prophet took to his heels. And the prophet went to a place. This place, God did not send him there. He thought that it was a practical, thing to do, that it was necessary. It made sense for him to run away. And so we come to see him in 1 Kings chapter number 19, in verse number 4, 1 Kings chapter number 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. In other words, this guy got so depressed. Don't forget what I said. This man was a man of like passion, of like nature, like you and her. And so he got so depressed. Verse 5, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And it keeps on and on. Verse 9, look at what the Bible says regarding him. So and And there he went into a cave. He went from under the broom tree, he went into a cave. All of these journeys were not as per the instruction of God. You remember in verse number, in chapter number 17, we always hear the voice of the word of the Lord said to him. Now he was the one making this decision on his own. Verse 9 says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord. This is the first time he's going to hear the word of the Lord again. After he had decided to take matters into his hand. The word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what does he say? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I believe so strongly that if Jesus was to appear to some of us now, he's going to be asking us exactly the same question. Your provision is not here. What are you doing here? I didn't send you here. Because like I said, your here is the way you handle the matters of your life. And he will be telling you, no, I didn't send you here. You are at a location where your provision is not. I'm asking you, people of God, that it is time for us to begin to flow and fly on the wings of the obedience to his word, because that's the only thing that will guarantee that we'll get to that place called there. And the beauty of it is this. When you get to that place called there, you know. You know because, like I said, it's a place of promise. You know it when you are there. It's a place of provision. You know it when you're there. It's a place of power. When there is ceaseless power of God in your life, you know it when you're there. It's a place of his providence. You know it when you're there. But same way, if you're not there, you will feel the anguish, the frustration, the confusion, the disappointment. Not because the provision is not available, but because you have chosen to stay here rather than going there. Let us pray.